We are going to start out tonight in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, the first verse, verse 1. There's a good word in there, actually, in the King James Bible. It's two words. For us today, it's one word. It is the word tomorrow. Proverbs 27, 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Tonight what I'm going to do is I'm going to preach three passages in the Bible that talk about tomorrow. This one in Matthew chapter 6 and another one in James chapter 4. And you're going to see that we are instructed in the Word of God about tomorrow that there are three things we ought not to do. One of the things that we ought not to do about tomorrow is boast. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now, boasting about tomorrow is a statement of pride. Perhaps with these football teams that are going to play in these bowls, perhaps one during their pep rallies is saying about the other, wow, we get them out there on the field, we're going to run them all over the place and run up the score and blah, 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 blah. You know what that is? That's boasting about something tomorrow that hasn't happened yet because you feel pretty certain and confident that everything is going your way and not going the way of opposition. But you have to be aware of something. The circumstances that appear to be in your favor today might change. And suddenly, where you thought you had the advantage, you now have the disadvantage. And what's happened is that the circumstances are now substantially against you tomorrow. The picture changed. That's often true in many aspects of life. I'm going to give you a couple of examples in the Bible where somebody's boasting and truly the advantage was with them and something changed and then it went against them. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Be very, very careful about considering your advantage today, your upper hand today, and what you're going to do tomorrow because of that. You're very confident and boasting. 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time, tomorrow. She's boasting. Now, Jezebel already has a very good track record in killing prophets. You might remember when Ahab was out, Obadiah was with him. Obadiah had hid 100 prophets. By 50, so 50, I guess, in one case, 50 in another. And he was giving them bread and water because Jezebel had decreed the execution of prophets, and he was protecting them. He shielded them. Elijah shows up on the scene. He has the big showdown with the prophets there at Mount Carmel, showing that God is God, that Baal is not God. Then he kills 450 prophets of Baal. Jezebel gets the word and she says, the gods do so to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She had the power to do it. Politically. She had the power to do it by decree. But she didn't have the power to do it by God. Elijah left. He had his spell with the Lord. You read about that a little bit later. But eventually, a man named Jehu comes up. And Jehu kills all of the house of Ahab, including Jezebel. Eventually, Jezebel is thrown down by some eunuchs. Jehu tramples her with his horse's hooves, goes in to get him something to eat. They say, bury her, and they say, well, there's nothing left of her but the palms of her hands and her feet. Dogs came in there and ate her up. That's something. Boasting. Let me show you what I'm going to do to you, Elijah, after what you've done to me tomorrow. Got to be real careful about that. Look in 1 Kings chapter 20. Ben-Hadad is the king of Syria that you see there in verse 1. He had 32 kings with him, and the Syrians had a tremendous advantage over Ahab in Israel. He sends a message to Ahab. And basically he says to him in verse 3, thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. Ahab took a weak posture and said, I'm not going to fight you. If you want to come here and enrich yourself with our silver and gold, help yourself. Verse 5, the messengers came again and said, thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, although I have sent unto thee, saying, thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold, and thy wives and thy children. Watch this, verse 6. Yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put in their hand and take it away. Tomorrow. You know what he's doing? He's boasting about tomorrow because he had already seen Ahab plead in a weaker position. But if you keep reading 1 Kings chapter 20, you're going to find out that Ahab, with that little bitty army that he had, and God's help, defeated the Syrians twice, and Ben-Hadad did not make good on his boast. Do you understand? We are Christians. We are God's people. Jesus Christ is going to win. And we know that. But be very, very careful about considering the advantage that we have with Christ and popping off some boastful thing because you don't know what a day may bring forth. I'm reading through the Psalms, and in one of those Psalms, 44, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the psalmist is remembering all the loving kindness of the Lord and all of His mercy, but he's also shocked that the saints, those that remember the Lord, are being destroyed just like those who didn't. We know that the wrath of God is poured out on Israel during the tribulation. It's a judgment to get them to turn to Jesus Christ. But the sad thing is, and you see it particularly in the Psalms, God's people suffer right along with those who are not God's people. You got to be careful in this day and age, boasting of tomorrow, because you don't know exactly how things are going to develop before the Lord Jesus Christ comes to take His church out of this world. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're on the winning side, and I'm thankful about that, but we are in perilous times. Just be careful. Matthew chapter 6, here's another thing. We're not to boast. Boast not, he says. And here in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 34, he says this, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In the first place, boast not. In the second place, think not. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what he's saying? He's telling us, you got enough on your plate today that you don't need to add all the stress of what's coming tomorrow. And that's true. If you load up your mind on tomorrow with everything else you're having to deal with today, you're also going to load up your stress. Instead, what you need to do is what verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, the things he's talking about have to do with food and raiment. He talks about God feeding the birds and the beauty of the lilies. Solomon and all of his beauty was not arrayed like those lilies, and those birds don't work like we do, and yet there's always something for them to eat. And what he's telling us and wants us to understand is God takes care of his children. So much of what we worry about, so much of what we stress over, so much of what we deal with is things that we take into our own hand that God would rather lead us in, do for us, or provide. But we're built, particularly in this country, the country of industry, country of research. We're the ones just give it to me, give me the task, and let me go at it. I've noticed this when you are stressing, and this is a good time of year to do it. You're coming up on the end of the year, and some of you have Christmas lists, and you still got some shopping to do, and you went by the mall the other day, and you saw there wasn't even a parking place, and you're wondering how you're going to get all this done, and nobody's smiling. Or whatever it is, coming up on the end of the year, and you've got to finish whatever it's due by the end of the year, and you're wondering how you have enough time to do it. You know what's not in your mind when your mind is consumed with all of that? The kingdom of God. You're not concerned about what God is doing while you're so consumed with everything that you have to do. I know that. I mean, we're people. We're like each other. Same thing happens to me. I had to do a reset this week. I don't remember if it was Monday or Tuesday. I was just overwhelmed with the things that we do here for the end of the year, some things, some folks that I still want to go witness to that haven't seen in a while, a trip that we're going to be taking for preaching coming up next year, those kind of things, and you start getting weighed with that. You feel it. Don't you feel it? You feel it. You know it's heavy on you. You either feel it on your shoulders or perhaps in your arms, or maybe it's crawling up your back, or maybe you're not sleeping as well. It's not that you have to knock all that stuff out right now. Everything that you should get done today and all that stuff that you got on your plate tomorrow that you hope you can kind of make a head start on today and that thing next week, you will wear yourself down to a nub. And you know what he said to the solution is? Quit thinking about it. Quit thinking about it. You got enough on your plate today. That doesn't mean that you don't put an appointment on the calendar that's still out in the future or make an airline reservation if you had an airline reservation to make or something like that. But then you leave that till then to deal with the rest of it and deal with what you got to deal with today. And always keep that kingdom of God. What is God doing with me in my life that he wants to do with me today that I don't seem to have room in my schedule for him to do because I got so much to do and tomorrow's twice as bad as today? It seems to be the design of this world and the design of the devil working together to consume your mind with thoughts of this world. And the Lord said, I don't want you to be consumed with thoughts of this world. I want you to be consumed with thoughts of me. So ease up a little bit and take it one day at a time. Haven't you noticed that a lot of things that you are stressing over that are going to happen tomorrow or the next day, Some of those things don't even pop up. By the time tomorrow comes, they're no longer an issue. If you ever called us here and you wanted me to call you back and I waited a couple of hours before I did, sometimes it's because I couldn't get back to you. I hate to even confess this, but you ought to know. Sometimes I know if I give it just a little more time and you and God get together on the thing, you'll solve the problem before I have to call you back. And you get to see God working in your life. Do you understand that? That's an important thing, by the way. I remember early in the ministry, and I'll move on quickly, but I remember early on in the ministry, it was important to me that people needed me. I felt a little bit like the Maytag repairman. I wanted to get some calls. Makes you feel important. But the worst thing in the world is to make a flock of sheep dependent upon you rather than the shepherd. Once you see God intervening in your life and helping you with these stressful situations and helping you through these stressful situations, all of a sudden you're like, wow, I don't have to get so worked up about all this. God is here. God is paving the way. God is helping me. And these things are not nearly as bad as I thought they were. That way, only the things of the day that are evil will confront you. You don't have to mount up more than's there. Amen? So, boast not, think not. And one more, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Probably get 15 phone calls tomorrow just to see how long it takes me to call you back. James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Is that true? Well, it's absolutely true. You think you know. You're even making plans for it, but you don't know. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It does go quickly when it goes sometimes, and very unexpectedly. My father and my mother traveled to Rockport on a Tuesday, spent the night with friends. We're driving home together, and my father was being very affectionate with my mother. He was holding her hand, and they were listening to an audiobook. He got home, and because they had been in the car driving over there and then seated with their friends and all and driving home, Dad said, I should go to the YMCA, go to the Y and do my treadmill. He had had heart surgery 6 years before. Go do my treadmill, and that'd keep me in good shape. So he went over there and did his treadmill, got in his vehicle, and on the way home, had a sudden heart attack, thankfully pulled out of the traffic, not into the traffic, gradually, gently rolled the vehicle over into the front yard of somebody right across the street from the church that he attended, and died on a Wednesday night. That's not what he was expecting. And neither were we. It was a very sudden thing, but that's how it is. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Verse 15 says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Years ago, we had a mechanic that made extra money while we were in Bible college by coming to our houses and doing automobile work on our vehicles. This is how he supported his family of six with his job and then these things. And he always used to say to me almost annoyingly, I'll be there tomorrow, Lord willing. I shouldn't say I should be so annoyed about it, but he always did it. And he was the only one who did it. And he always did it. Would you like to come over for supper tomorrow night? Yeah, let me check with Linda and I'll let you know. We'll be there, Lord willing. Sounds like he's preaching to me all the time, you know. But if you've gotten any text from me about plans, comma, Lord willing, he actually taught me something. Because if the Lord's not willing, it's not going to happen. It's very true that we don't know what's happening. And so when we're making plans, it's better to put our plans in the Lord's hands and say, I'll do that, Lord willing, because he may change the plan. And when we put it in the Lord's hands and he knows we're putting our time and schedule in his hands, he actually knows that we understand we're trusting him to lead and guide in those decisions. I can't tell you how many times in the ministry something that we thought was going to happen a certain way didn't happen that way, or something thing we were planning to do a certain way didn't happen that way, or something thing that got scheduled got changed. Life is that way. It's very good to know, Lord willing. Why? Because when you make a plan to do something and you're going to meet somebody else at noon tomorrow and you've already made the plans to be at that restaurant or whatever, and Lord willing is not part of the deal, and then all of a sudden they have to cancel, you get upset because you've made your plans around that. But when you make those plans, Lord willing, and they change, you recognize that God has something else in mind for that period of time on your day, and when you see what it is He intended for you to do with that slot of time, 9 times out of 10, it's going to put a smile on your face when you get to the end of the day and you realize, if I had gone with the plans we had made, we would not have been able to do whatever it is that God intervened. So boast not, think not, know not. Those are the three knots to do with tomorrow. Boast not, think not, know not. That means you don't know. You think you know. You looked at your calendar. You say, I got a meeting tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. You're not sure about that. Lord willing. Lord willing. Boast not, think not, know not. Life, I'll tell you what, will be a lot more peaceful for you. And God will be more present in your mind and in your heart if you live like He said in the Word of God. I'll do that. Father, thank you tonight for guiding us in your scripture to something else we need to be conscious of as we live our lives. Help us to do it just like you've planned, for Jesus' sake. Amen.